Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome back to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're diving into a part of the market that often gets talked about but rarely fully understood: international arbitration and the potential value that it can unlock. We're joined by Andrea Cattaneo of Zenith Energy and Mark Bolton of Pantera Resources, two companies progressing substantial claims against sovereign states, with Zenith advancing a circa $570 million ICSID arbitration against Tunisia, and Pantera pursuing a claim north of $1.5 billion against the Indian government. What's striking here is that despite the scale of these claims, neither company is really being valued by the market for a successful outcome. That creates a pretty interesting dynamic, because if things go their way, the upside could be significant. But at the same time, these processes are long, complex, and far from guaranteed. So today is all about getting under the skin of where things actually stand right now, what's been achieved, what the key milestones are from here, and how investors should really think about the risk versus reward. So Andrea, Mark, welcome to the Midweek Takeaway.
Thank you, Phil, and nice to meet you, Andrea.
So, Andrea, I'll start with you. You've now moved through a large part of the arbitration process. So where are we today in real terms, and what are the next key milestones investors should be focused on?
Okay, so first of all, thank you for the time today. Zenith has not won arbitration, which is normally the case of company describing to have won arbitration against another company or another state like us. Both of us, we have a state. And in our case, this arbitration is the third of a series of three arbitrations that we started when we were robbed of our oil back in 2022. So, you know, we had the cargo of oil that was produced by our joint venture. So a situation that is very plain vanilla. We loaded the oil as well with our employees. And then when the vessel sailed, we discovered that the bill of lading did not contain our name. So it was quite tragicomical, the idea that they thought that they could do something like that. So we tried to understand if it was a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. So then, as it was our oil with our documents and the full knowledge of the cargo destination, we were able in few weeks to make a sequestration in Geneva of the money. And this was the start then of different that continued a few weeks later with the start of arbitration number one, ICC one, which we have won outright 2 years and a half later in Paris in December 2024. Then, unfortunately, the damages didn't stay only with one field, which was the one producing the oil of the vessel, but continue with the second field, possibly more important, and then we had to start a second arbitration, ICC2. And then, because there are other fields, other two, and there were other forms of expropriation, we had to start the arbitration that we are discussing today, which is ICSID, for finally $573 million, which in oil is a small amount, but is the value of what we have been expropriated of.
Absolutely. And Mark, bringing you in, Pantera's claim is obviously very large on paper, but these processes, as we know, can take time. So how should investors think about the journey from here to a potential outcome, and what does success actually look like in your case?
Look, I guess just to clarify, the claim is $1.58 billion US at this time. That value is determined by an independent expert. It wasn't our number. It was a number that we adopted after the independent expert reported their work product to us. And that was in Q105 when gold price was circa 3,000. Gold price is obviously around 4,600 currently. As we go forward, we'll look to update the claim should the expert choose to update their work, and potentially as early as July this year. The second point I want to make about the claim value, our claim number is net of tax. So if you look at the GreenX number, it's actually a gross of tax number. Okay. So you're looking at a number on an equivalent basis, ignoring any gold price shift, of well north of 2 billion after you adjust for tax. And then you adjust it again for potential increases in the gold price. You're now starting to get a number. I don't want to speculate because we'll put out a real number, but let's just say it's another level up again. Okay. So just that's kind of the envelope. In our case, it is an arbitration claim under the Australia-India Bilateral Investment Treaty regarding the Bukia Gold Project, which we are alleging India has breached the Australia-India Bilateral Investment Treaty and effectively not only expropriated the asset, they have also, well, rights, they have also breached the fair and equitable treatment clauses under the treaty. And hence we're seeking compensation against those breaches.
Yeah, I think we just want to, I suppose it's a question to both of you, but what do you think the market is missing here? Because, even allowing for time and risk, the current valuation suggests investors are assigning very little probability to a meaningful award. And I guess that applies to both companies here.
Well, the point is that the companies may have other activities for which they are valued more. Ourselves, we have a very strong growth in our solar park division, which is very much favored by the war with Iran, creating a lack of energy, at least in Europe, and then the need for more alternative energy, which was in the last 2 years considered under the influence of the American trend against non-fossil energy. Then instead, alternative energy like eolic and solar is coming back very strongly as a valuation for the asset. And so that is something that we enjoy separately from the arbitration. But the arbitration in our case has been a continuous trend, so has been valued at a certain moment very highly after the victory on the first one, because obviously we were supposed to win as well the second, which was for a bigger amount, 130 million. But unfortunately, we were victim of a fraud. And so that has prompted us to make appeal for annulment in the Cassation of Lausanne, which is our governing law, the Swiss law for annulment. And so this is still ongoing. So the situation is more complex. And so sometimes when people don't fully understand, there is less valuation. But we are very happy in a way that we don't depend in our growth in market cap into the arbitration, in a way that we cannot be accused to make the arbitration a method of marketing of our stock. But I would say that at a certain moment, people realize when we are approaching the award that we have already won one. We may have won the appeal for the second. So there is a stream of legal successes which are precedent to the decision of the third. And the third is not, as in the case of our peer here in this transmission, is not something that we demand. It is a result of the analysis of the quantum expert. And so is absolutely supposed to be fair. And then there will be a case if the truth of our legal merit emerge in the sentence of not. So I see no reason, seeing the quality of the exceed tribunal and the component of the jury, that we will have a negative outcome.
Look, I guess first of all, the attraction to these investments are primarily from retail, as much and high net worth individuals. But even with those high net worth individuals, what we are seeing is it's definitely specific investor group in terms of those high net worth. So it is the one percenters. Retail, it's a much more broad based. We are seeing some institutional and buying in our stock, but it's the exception. It's not the norm, and you would think that's reasonable because what fund manager wants to come home and say they lost a case, or come to the office and say they lost a case, and their investment went from $100 to a penny, so to speak. So, I think what we've observed, and the analytics that have been done by VSA, is that these things are very much momentum driven. And as you go down that journey, these things gain that momentum, and particularly in the last 12 months to an award. So we haven't entered into that 12-month window. We will enter that 12-month window in the second half of this year. Our hearing is in December, but then you've got to wait for the actual decision by the panel as well. So I think it's very much time-based is the discount that you're referring to. To be honest with you, I quite like being the underdog. I get very anxious when our stock is overpriced or when someone's overpricing, because my job is not to lose people money. I can go and market this company confidently that the upside is there for shareholders today. I think overall, out of the peer group, we're probably, in my opinion anyway, we are probably the most attractive out of from a pricing point of view. Simple on a simple math basis as a percentage of claim, it's a very simple single claim. It's not a complex, multifaceted claim. And the timetable or that countdown, we're about to go into it. So yes, we are we're at a at pennies and the dollar at this point. But to me, that's the opportunity. And I'd expect us to be pennies and the dollar at this stage, moving quite quickly from here on in. So I don't view it as a negative. I view it as a as really just the commencement of that final stage where investors can enjoy that uplift of the journey before a potential windfall gain or loss necessarily on an award decision at a later date.
Yeah, I mean it's almost as, well, it's not almost as if it actually is. Your market cap should be reflective of what an independent company would buy the outcome for, right? If somebody came to you and said, "Panthera, we will buy, we will pay you a certain amount of money, and then if you win, we take all of the winnings," that's what your market cap should be. And often
In
that's a lot less
theory,
than what you might think.
indeed, and I mean it is a specialist single point bet, so your pool of potential buyers is very small. I mean, a market cap at the moment is circa 65, 70 million US. 18 months ago, it was a fraction of that, and so I view it already as a success story in terms of share price appreciation, and we're only partially down the journey, so.
And it'll keep going up as the chances of success increase. It's as simple as that.
Indeed. And the moment I reinforce that momentum story, it very much, I mean, at the end of the day, your share price is the marginal investor. And that marginal investor is retail. And retail these days, particularly in the UK, I mean, it's punters' money.
But it is
And therefore,
interesting,
it's
right?
momentum based.
Yeah, I mean, but
Sorry.
it is interesting. I mean, I just last one for you, then I'll move over to Andrea. But the GreenX, Emerson, Panthera, Zenith, these are the four companies I've invested in for the arbitration outcomes. And actually, probably my most successful investments, bar a handful, as a basket. So clearly, there's money to be made. But also, you talk about sort of single point of risk, either, the legal case goes away or it doesn't, but invest in a handful of them, and actually, I think the chance of success across a basket is really, really strong.
I could not agree with you more on that portfolio approach when it comes to these cases. That, I mean, just statistically, if you look at the ICSID data, the win-loss ratio is around 50-odd%. And if you're investing in foreign vet, and then, by the way, that includes all the good cases and all the poor cases,
And some are hopeless, genuinely. Yeah.
without judging, if you just take the simple mean, it's 50-odd%. In fact, it's higher than 50. I think it's 60, but we'll call it 50. You're getting foreign investments, you multiply the math out, you're starting to get into the, second standard deviation of probability of a successful outcome in one of those cases, and you've made money.
We have a more diverse scenario, but I totally agree about the statistics of ICSID. And in our scenario, we have more of our liquidity, most of our liquidity in Euronext Oslo and in Stockholm. So in these two markets, there is definitely a retail interest for arbitration cases. But we had the same liquidity before, and so we have our fan club and people that are long-term investors there, despite being retail. And so there is as well a composition. We have to encash the first victory, which we have already transformed in executory papers. And so we are just seeking to repeat the sequestration we made in 2022. Maybe another difference is that we have a very acrimonious relation with the managers that rob us, because substantially this has been published everywhere, so it's not a secret that we have undercover a cliche misbehaving in their process of procurement. And this has created a great antagonism against us. Which of course I resent, because our intention, they were very sort of naive even to try to have a clean development of our fields in such an environment. And so that is something that may improve as the member of this cliche eventually are fired or retired or worse. Some have gone to prison, and so then the situation may evolve as well in form of a settlement, as people see that in reality we were right. You know, nobody invested in Tunisia since we start our arbitration. Shell has followed us with an arbitration as well in ICC, and so people have taken the initiative. So I think that beside being searching for money back to the one we invested and we have been robbed, there is as well an element of justice. You know, we have.
It's personal, isn't it? I mean, in small caps, it's always personal, but maybe it is just a little bit more here, because it's not that something went wrong with the project, or which happens all the time. It's that, you know, it was taken from you illegally, and they didn't play fair, regardless of who the state was, in this case, Tunisia.
Yes, absolutely. It's personal. I think that during the week of the hearing, my personal name and not the name of Zenit has been heard 800 times, trying to make me a sort of Rasputin. And so that is something that I resent very much, because, you know, we are in legal proceedings, but still we should maintain, especially in arbitration, a level of decency and suavity.
It's company versus state. It's not person versus person. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess the only other thing, you know, before I pass back over to Kevin, that a lot of people seem to be under the impression that, you know, you're either awarded very significant sums of money or nothing. But in both cases, both Panthera and Zenith, you know, a state can come to you with a settlement agreement. You know, or alternatively, you'll be awarded, you know, a portion of your claim, but not the entire amount. So it's maybe not as binary as what people think. It's probably the case as well, right?
Absolutely. I think that in our cases, you know, there can be technical dispute about the quantum, and then there can be an assumption that a compromise in the sum is correct, and you know, this will be the decision of the court.
Yeah, and ultimately as well, if they, you know, if they make you whole financially and you know, get out of your way almost, you can go develop the field, which was the idea in the first place, and just bring you back to where you were before it all started, right?
Absolutely. And you know, for us it was a great opportunity, and we had because of the COVID and because of our courage to settle there during COVID, which was not easy, then we had four different opportunity, which made altogether for a small cap like us was a great achievement. And then this opportunity has been taken out of our hands. So then it's something that need covering our claims in some shape or form. So that is there is no question. You know, we have been robbed, even comically. We have even robbed in November during the preparation of the
Yeah, I
hearing.
know.
They rob us of additional oil, and if somebody, you know, it's like somebody that is under prosecution for robbing a bank and goes again to the same bank to have another snap.
Well, they've acted like that. It's different, I think, in Panthera's case, but in yours, I mean, every single time they've acted out of order. I'm not even talking about legal order, just to a lay person with no legal knowledge, it's just obvious that the way they've acted is not acceptable. So you would hope there'll be a positive resolution to your cases.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, the reason why we were doing this podcast and having you both on was really to look at this and say, you know, is this a good investment group to invest in as an investor? So, I mean, I suppose I'll come to you first, Mark. You've been involved with these before Panthera as well, I think, in terms of taking something along the line. Maybe I'm misinformed, but I think that is the case. So there are many nations that have basically decided, oh, that looks like a nice asset, we'll take it. And we don't want the small company to have it. How, as a return on investment, do we think that these companies are for the investor, for the retail?
I guess before I respond to that specific query, I'll just step back to some of the earlier comments about, it was Charles who made the comment about it's not a binary outcome. Look, you have to win the case. Let's be clear. You have to win it on merit. So, yes, there is a threshold of winning on merit and other minimum legal requirements. But to be fair, you don't pursue a multi-million dollar claim without having some substantive belief that your claim has strong validity. So we'll put that as a given. One of the interesting aspects that I've observed of the, this is my fourth case, I might add, to your point, Kevin, is that arbitration, I like to use the word palm tree justice. I think the more technical term is you know, King Solomon justice, and that is looking at the balance of various factors on both sides and trying to find that balance in terms of the ultimate compensation. And the amount that is awarded in what I've observed is that representative of that balance. How a particular panel chooses to find that balance is it comes down to the specifics of the individuals on the panel. I suppose talking also to Zenith's comments regarding the behaviour. Look, we're fortunate we don't have that personal situation in our case at this point in time. And to be honest, we also don't make it personal. Similarly, the best possible outcome for all parties is to actually find a settlement, in my opinion. And certainly that's the situation in our case. And this is more a philosophical comment. We often look at these cases as individual cases and what it costs a particular party to run the case, lose the case, win the case. But as has been pointed out, the lack of an investment in Tunisia, for example, following the Zenith case, and I think it was Shell that you mentioned, the lack of investment into Tunisia is similarly echoed in India. The real cost is the lost of opportunity. In our case, the lost opportunity is the lack of foreign investment into the Indian mining industry. It is just enormous. It's non-existent. The West Australian gold province, the Yilgarn Craton, extends directly through India. And India has the opportunity to be one of the best gold producers in the world and yet produces practically nothing. In our case alone, India could be producing 500,000 ounces a year, yet this project sits idle now since 2008. So what's that? 17 years of lost production.
That's a lot of million ounces of gold, isn't it? When you look at it like that, it's like 6 million ounces, 7 million ounces, based on a few years to get there, obviously, and then start producing. So yeah,
exactly. So the real loss is the loss to. So we kind of look at these things very narrowly in our little world because we have a specific case, but from a policy point of view, the real loss to the sovereigns is the loss of investor trust. And that's where it hurts. Unfortunately, the other cases that I was involved in, we were always, all three of the previous cases I was involved with, we were able to find that settlement and move forward. I won't comment in terms of our likelihood of settlement here with India is, but my personal opinion is it's an absolute no-brainer. You could settle with us and get back the tax alone would pay the bill in 1 year.
Yeah.
I like very much this comment because after years of our litigation, you know, we started in 2022, the first arbitration. So it's a long trail with the result that we said there was not a penny invested in Tunisia since. Comment is that I'm not proud of it. You know, I was certainly not interested in causing that. But the result of their obstruction and expropriation has been so self-damaging that the question is that what it's for and was it worth it to do this expropriation just for the immediate gain of some $26 million that we were expropriated in terms of cash and oil, so not asset, the asset at the remaining part of the devaluation. So just to have taken away from us properties that under their management now they do 100% what they were producing for them when we were in joint venture at 55%, which is the normal stake of the government in Tunisia. And so all this game has a zero value, no? Zero sum. They have lost the trust of the investors. Nobody invests anymore. The thing that they have expropriated in their hands have become less or equally producing as when they had only a 55% participation for lack of competence and investment. So it is not a good policy to prevail over investors that are genuine and competent and can make a worthwhile a sector. So as Pantera says, the fact that then you remain with an area that could do 100 and does zero should be the sad summary for a policymaker to see that is not the right way to do.
Just one very quick comment. This is, once again, a personal observation, but in my experience, it's these issues are as a result of the individual, not the state. Opportunist individuals that seek personal gain. And we form the view that a state makes this grand policy objective and then seeks to expropriate these assets. Yeah, that does happen. I mean, the Tanzanian case was a case, an example when that did happen. But in my experience, that's the exception.
It looks to me, from looking at all of these different things, that you can never really blame the state, even though it is you against the state. The reality is it has been personal gain, personal greed in the particular situation that says, hey, we can benefit from this. So why would we? And not only that, a disdain almost for the companies or the individuals that are involved. And therefore, you know, it's like, it's our country, we can do what we want. And then they go ahead and do that. Is that fair to say?
I mean, obviously it's case by case example, but that is my personal view as well.
Yeah. And Andrea, I mean, in Zenith's case, there was obviously some personal individuals who decided they were going to take the route that they thought this was going to be beneficial for them.
Yes, you know, in hydrocarbons, historically, there was a cliche that has found dangerous to let a fresh arrival making an easy entry because of COVID. And so then they consider us disturbing the quiet life of the country, which has gone from producing 100,000 barrels per day down to 26,000 barrels per day. And so this cliche prevail. I think that then it is to the remaining part of the government to notice the result of this cliche attitude and to monitor and to correct. But it is certainly true what Pantera said, that most of the time there are some individuals that they start
the obstructive part.
Yeah. And I mean, when I look at both of your companies, I mean, we've got a market cap Zenith around 45 million. I know you've just raised some capital, so that's maybe slightly higher at the minute. And Panthera around 53 million. So you're almost exactly the same. I suppose the difference being Zenith's claim is probably a third of the value, but you have a lot of other assets that are going to be financially beneficial, as in solar power and the uranium. Whereas Panthera, as you would say, Mark, is a straight bet on do you succeed? But it seems like you have also been very, what's the right word? Diplomatic in managing to get away three claims before as agreed and money to the investors, I presume.
Look, each claim is unique to the specific circumstances. And one of those claims, we were actually the respondent. So no money to investors, unfortunately, money from investors' back pockets. But nonetheless, a modest sum rather than a much larger sum. So let's just say preserving investors' funds was the end objective there. But yes, and some of those other claims, one of them I think we settled for over 1.5 billion US. I think it was 1.7, 1.8. So quite substantive amounts. I think the other investment was to, we recouped the asset ultimately, and that was in dispute. So look, at the end of the day, winning and losing, I don't like characterizing it in that way because it's this win-lose thing. And if you go into the litigious environment and you have this win-lose philosophy, you have this, I've been wronged, becomes an emotional exercise, and it'll affect your decision making as to what the right path is. I guess the way I like to characterize it is not do what do I deserve, it's how much is enough, what is sufficient in the circumstance, rather than what do I deserve had I gone through to development, or you know, got the end result. Unfortunately, you know that. Yes, you know, you'd like the ideal outcome where you get ultimately everything you deserve. But, you know, we're all part of a family unit and home, and we realize we don't always get what we deserve.
Indeed, indeed. Okay, one last comment from you both then, Andrea. Let's hear what you would say to why people should invest in Zenith Energy.
Well, you know, as you said, we have... under the stress of having been robbed of our asset in Tunisia, we have rapidly rebuilt separate pillars of the company in future, developing the solar park, which was initially considered a sort of non-sexy activity, and now is becoming, with the construction of the first solar park, and with the fact that the energy, electricity mainly, is becoming much more expensive. And the electrification of the life of people in Europe is very evident. Even new modern buildings don't have the gas pipe, and so everything is electric. But then the electricity is made by fossil fuel somewhere else. And then this... fossil fuel, now suddenly they cost more, or they even become rarer to obtain, like LNG from Qatar. And so that solar park is growing fast as a value. Uranium, similarly, is another form of energy that suddenly is becoming more in fashion because people see that the fossil fuel remain. So the people fun of the problem of the CO2, which has still a strong percentage, maybe silent today, more in the past, but convince ecologists, or the people that they simply see that oil and gas is going through a permanent turmoil with the Middle East. And then there is as well the differences in the supply of jet fuel, for example. Now, how can somebody feel the scarcity of jet fuel and cancel flight in Europe or going to Greece for vacation? Because a certain type of petroleum products. They were produced in different parts of the world and not everywhere. And so the fact that the Strait of Hormuz is closed bring that to difficulties. So there is a clear element of energy crisis that help our two activity in uranium and in solar. At the same time, the arbitration, I think that should be looked at with a very cool mind, even after a week of fighting in court. And then it is important to move on for a company and not to remain for too long with the attention of the executives concentrated in lawyers, in debate, in war. And so certainly the end of this arbitration, which is not very near because we will have the exceed sentence award within November, December of this year. But then we have the annulment of the other one, and then we have the encashment of the first one. So we have a little bit more of time in our future to speak about the proceeds of the arbitration. But I share the view that whatever is coming at the end is the result of our long battle, and we should concentrate in building the future of Zenit otherwise, as we are doing already.
Very good. Mark?
I guess we aren't blessed with the extraordinary portfolio that Andreas has highlighted, and that really reflects the sheer size of our claim, and underpinned by the exceptional quality of the Bokia project. So as much as I would like us to diversify our business into other avenues, the size and growing size of our claim means that we need to focus on that. We do have other assets in West Africa, and we are progressing those, but you know they are dwarfed by the opportunity of the claim. Bokia just is that good, and as much as the claim is substantive, I know that if we're in production today, we would be far better off had this thing gone into production, and shareholders would be better off had this never occurred. It's just the way it is. So our intention is to minimize any dilution to shareholders by pursuing those other avenues. And our intention is to distribute any award to shareholders almost entirely. We haven't issued a public statement as to what that precisely will be, but the company will maintain a very small residual to keep the lights turned on, with shareholders benefiting from any award.
Very good. Okay, gentlemen, it's been very interesting. Obviously, there's different ways of doing this. With Panthera, you've also been fully funded throughout in terms of the legal side of things. With Zenith, they've gone on their own. With Zenith, they've also got other assets, as you've said. And Mark, you've focused on the claim itself. So there are nuances with all of these, but I'll go back to Charles's point that we said previously as well. I think having a basket of these type of shares with a potential upside on them is a very good idea. So you should be buying some Zenith shares if you don't have any, and you should be buying some Panthera if you don't have any, and maybe GreenX and Emerson also. I've also got a claim out there as well in the UK. And there is a big potential upside with, can we say it, limited downside? I don't know whether we can in all cases, but really, if we're able to negotiate settlements, then there's a very good chance it's going to be good upside and no downside.
But this is not financial advice anyway, so...
or legal advice.
We don't give any legal or financial advice. We just talk to people.
Well, I don't know. You were an IFA previously, Kev, and I don't think I'm going back to law anytime soon, but just in case this doesn't pan out. Yeah, rather
okay,
not.
On that bombshell, we'll say Andrea Catania of Zenith Energy and Mark Bolton of Panthera Resources, thanks very much for appearing on the podcast.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Phil.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Kevin.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.